Cue the mic up, ain't no need for further delay. Shanta Yarnett is the name, but you can call me SA. Welcome to the pod, I'm here to cast, but it ain't no shade. Thanks for tuning in, this is my show, Essays with SA. Here to talk the culture, acknowledge a couple vultures, but we advocate for every youth, we mold them like a sculpture. TV with the mostest, that's why I'm your favorite hostess, cause I'm saying what you're thinking, you're laughing, but I ain't joking. Streaming cause I sold it, look back and gon' say I chose a lip syncer, but keep it vocal, I'm local, my show is global. Topics hot as rockets, ain't phony, I'm in my pocket, original, you can jack it. So once you tune in, I lock it down. Mic check is Shanta Yarnett. Welcome to the show, whatever time you tune in. This is Essays with SA, and I sincerely appreciate all the Taymates under the sound of my voice. If you're new to the show, I appreciate you for stopping by. I encourage you to be a legend, statement, and star, and like, share, and subscribe. If you're returning to the show, hey girl, welcome back. I thank you for returning and clocking back in with me. It's greatly appreciated. This is season 2, episode 28, and episode 50 in total. Today, we're talking subconscious prejudices and the ways that we can come off judgmental without intending to or even knowing that we are. I'm going to point out a couple of common examples that I notice on a regular basis and see if we can teach ourselves to be a little bit more aware. With that being said, this episode is sponsored by Anchor, the easiest way to make your own podcast. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Lock in while I clock in. Let's get this show started. I'm going to start the episode off by apologizing for being gone so long. I know I've been off the grid for a little bit as far as the podcast world is concerned. I've been quite preoccupied with, as you guys know from the last episode and a lot of the episodes leading up to the last episode, Bathhouse has taken completely over my life. And the show itself was amazing. We had a great time. And if you guys are staying connected with me on social media, you guys will see that my YouTube channel has been lit up with Bathhouse content. And what started off as a two-part vlog about leading up to Bathhouse and the actual show has turned into a four-part series on the lead up to the Bathhouse show, the setup, the actual show, and then the after. And so the first two episodes are officially live on my YouTube channel now. If you go to YouTube and just look up my name, Shanta Yarnett, you'll find me. And make sure you guys catch up on the first two episodes. It's a lot of crazy content. It's a lot of funny and interesting moments leading up to us getting into drags. And the first two episodes cover the five days leading up to the show, the day of the show, and it cuts off right as we're about to walk on stage. And so next week it's gonna pick up and it's gonna be the actual show. You guys are gonna be able to see the show, step into Bathhouse and experience it with us. So I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's been a great experience doing this. Shout out to Keith Beck, who's been my co-producer on this, the editor on this. He has done the filming for the actual show. All of the third episode that you guys will see next week was completely shot by him. And he has been the editor on the second, third, and the upcoming fourth episode. So I'm so appreciative to him. He's been a great collaborator. So make sure you guys go and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'm officially back on YouTube. We have a lot of more fun and crazy content coming. And yeah. So we're getting ready to jump into the podcast. I'm back and I'm better. And I'm so glad you guys are back listening. So let's jump into it. Today we're going to be talking about subconscious prejudices. And by definition, what that is lightly put, a subconscious prejudice is an observation or we'll go with observation right now, for lack of better words. An observation that is made about somebody that is perceived negatively without even realizing that you're doing it. It's like basically coming off disrespectfully to somebody by inserting a type of prejudice into conversation that doesn't need to be there and has no bearings on the conversation or anything to do with the conversation. But that insert turns the conversation from an innocent exchange into an observation on culture. And so I want to take a moment to kind of point out a few of the most common examples that I notice when I see these things happening. And I want to talk about what they are, how they affect people, and how we can avoid doing these things in the future, and just kind of be more aware of the way that we come off and the way that we speak to people. Because I get that the politically correct society and culture that we're in can really lean itself to an extremist balance. It's either, you know, you can't say anything or, you know, whatever. But I feel like within that, somewhere in the middle lies just a common respect and common courtesy of people and their feelings and their, you know, their identities and their cultures. So with that being said, here's a few examples of subconscious prejudices that I feel like people need to be aware of. Playing rap music around your Black friends just because they're Black and you think that they identify with Black music. And I'm gonna start off with listing these examples from a personal perspective and then expand to a wider demographic, because I don't feel like prejudices only subscribe specifically to race, and I don't specifically feel like it specifically lends itself to Black people. So, but in my experience, people playing rap music around me because they feel like I identify more with rap music. Now, to take that on an outside perspective, that's just like if I, as a Black person, I hang around white people, right? So if I just automatically hang around a white person who's from Alabama, and I just automatically start playing country music because I feel like that's what they're gonna get into, that can automatically lend itself to being subconsciously prejudiced, because you don't want to assume somebody lends their ear to a certain thing because of their appearance or the way that they come off or the way that they appear to be. Mind you, that person may only listen to country music exclusively, or I may exclusively only listen to rap music, but you don't want to make those type of assumptions about people just based on their appearance because of the sliding scale and the slippery slope that can automatically go into. Do you know what I'm saying? How many times have you been in a situation where you say one thing and you mean it one way, but that person can take it and it automatically connects to five other things that create this 6 degrees of separation to offensiveness, because the small thing that we may intend as a joke, or it's just like something that we don't even think of, or it's just something that is a fact to us, it can become something that is a tense observation. If that makes any sense. So like assuming a person's interests based on their presentation, whether that presentation be their skin color, whether that presentation be them appearing to be gay, whether that presentation be whatever. Like I wouldn't want you playing RuPaul around me because I do drag. Like, I wouldn't want you playing Lady Gaga for me because you think I'm queer. Like, I don't want you to assume to know what I like or what I lend myself to because I am a certain thing, right? Or I am a part of a certain community. Because yes, I may feature those things in my repertoire of interests, but I am an eclectic person who enjoys all types of entertainment, right? Moving on. Kind of diving a little bit into that, pointing out race or ethnicity of people in stories you tell where they have no relevance to the story. What I mean by that is, let's say you're having a conversation with someone and you are talking about, you know, you're out, let's just say you're out at the mall somewhere and you have an experience where you're in the food court and this girl runs into you and she accidentally knocks your drink off of your tray when you're in the food court carrying your drink to your table. And you go and you tell that story to your friend, right? And you start that story by saying, I was in the food court and I turn around and this black girl knocks my cup off of my tray and knocks my drink all over the floor when I was turning around to take my tray to my table. That is subconscious prejudice. Because you see how I told that story before I interjected the subconscious prejudice into it? What does the girl being black have to do with the story? Does that make sense? Like, there's no reason for you to acknowledge that the girl was black or Puerto Rican or Asian or whatever the case may be, or gay or trans or whatever. There was no reason to interject specific identifying adjectives to describe a person when you're telling a story about something. Do you know what I'm saying? Unless it is relevant to the story. Let's see. I'm trying to think of an example where that would actually be relative to the story. Okay, let's say that, okay. So let's say you're telling a story and you're like, let's say you're a white person and you're talking to your friend who's another white person and you're saying, hey, I was at this club and I was hanging with my friends and I was dancing with this girl and she, when we were dancing, she was like whispering the lyrics to the song in my ear while we were dancing. And it was really hot and it was really sexy. So she would be like, yeah, nigga, you want my body. Yeah, nigga, you want this pussy. Yeah, well, if you're a white person, you'd be saying, yeah, N-word. Hopefully you would be self-centering and saying, yeah, N-word. Yeah, N-word. But that would be the case where you would have to be like, yeah, this black girl was like, I was dancing with this black girl and she was whispering the lyrics. Because therefore you would be identifying that there wasn't like crazy actions going on from like random races of people. It was like, oh, the reason why you're bringing up the N-word is because the girl was black. Does that make sense? Sorry, I accidentally like grabbed this plug. But does that make sense? Like in that specific case where you have to identify the race of the person to justify some of the scenario, that makes sense. But if there's no bearings on the conversation as far as that person being black, Asian, Puerto Rican, queer, trans, whatever the case may be, then it doesn't make any sense. Unless their race makes the story make sense, then there's no reason to do it. That's subconscious prejudice. I'm gonna move on to one that I learned recently and that I've had to stop doing because I realize that it is offensive. Calling people a pussy or a dick during arguments. And this is something that I'm sure people of a certain age are going to be like, oh my God, we can't say anything now. Now we can't call people a pussy. Now we can't. I'm sorry, you guys. That was my laptop that I thought I muted that keeps making noise. Anyway, that's one of those things where it's like, oh, you can't say anything. But I was, like I said on an episode that I did about this, I think it was maybe the third or fourth episode of this podcast, where I learned that calling someone a pussy during an argument is like actually kind of like sexist and disrespectful to people with vaginas, whether they be women or men with vaginas, because you're implying that that genitalia or that sexual organ is a symbol of weakness or a symbol of negativity. Just like if you call somebody a dick during an argument, it's like, what's bad about having a dick? Do you know what I mean? Like, why is that? Do you get what I mean? I learned it in the context of calling someone a pussy, but I try to think as broad-mindedly as possible and as inclusive as possible. So I include calling somebody a dick in this situation too, because you kind of like, you kind of just shouldn't subscribe somebody's negative actions to a person's body part or genitalia. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like it goes back to that thing of, you don't want your son calling someone a pussy because you don't want him having the impression that being a woman is less than. Like it leads into that sexist identity of like, women are weaker, so being a pussy is bad because being a pussy is weak because women are weaker than men. Do you see what I'm saying? Breaking it down in that context really opened my eyes to that type of narrative, and it made me kind of change the way that I address the way certain things are happening from another person's actions. I have a couple more and then I'm gonna close. Saying someone is attractive for a specific adjective about themselves. This is sliding into fetishism, but it starts off as a subconscious prejudice. For example, saying that a person is cute for a black girl, or cute for a dark-skinned girl, or she's cute for a big girl. That is the open door. It's like the gateway drug to fetishism. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like, if that person is only cute for a black girl, then the only reason that you're fucking with them is because they're a black girl. And so that automatically goes into, okay, so the reason why you have an attractiveness to this person is because of their black skin, not because of the person that they are as a person, as an individual, as a human being, as an entity. That, do you see how those things slide directly into each other? The same can be said about white people, trans people, queer people. It's all a spectrum, because subconscious prejudice doesn't lend itself to one specific group of people, one specific culture of people, one specific race of people, one specific gender, one specific nothing. These things can apply to so many different types of people. It's just as wrong for me to say, oh, she's cute. She's cute for a trans woman. Oh, he's cute for a trans man. It's just as wrong for me to say that as it is for someone to say, oh, he's cute for a black man. Oh, he's cute for a dark-skinned brother. Or she's cute for a white girl. Or she's cute for a redhead. Or she's cute for a brunette. Or she's cute for a big girl. So on and so forth. I could come up with 1,000 examples, just like I can come out with 1,000 examples of assuming that somebody identifies with a certain type of entertainment or culture or environment because of their race or because of their culture or identity. You know what I'm saying? It's just as wrong for me to say that someone is attractive for those things, just like it's wrong for me to assume that just because you're trans, you're a sex worker. Or just because you're a gay man, you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, or you walk balls, or you want to be a drag queen, or assuming that just because you are a drag queen that you are trans and you want to be a woman. None of those things are specifically connected to each other. Do you know what I mean? And so we have to break away from categorizing someone as something based on their appearance or what they appear to identify as or with. Because I, as a non-binary person who is Black and trans, there are a lot of boxes that come with the identities that I fall under. So because I am trans and I was born male, people automatically assume that I want to be a full-blown woman. No, that's where the non-binary part comes in. And the reason why trans falls under a part of my identity is because with my non-binary, with my non-binary identity comes a body dysmorphia that is related to only seeing one gender when I look in the mirror. So that connects me to being trans, but I do not want to be a full-blown woman. I want to reflect the identity that I am, a combination of both genders. So with that, yes, I am trans and I do want to medically transition, but I do not want to medically transition from male to female. I want to transition my body to a point of full androgyny, right? That leads me into my last point. Assuming that trans is strictly male to female or female to male within the queer community. And, you know, a lot of this, a lot of these things are built on old social norms and old, you know, the closed-minded social norms of societies past and generations past, because there was not enough language or investigation to learn about all the different facets of these communities. It was just Black people, white people, gay people, and whoever else, you know, Asian people, Hispanic people. But there are so many different breakdowns and branches and facets of all of those communities. There's so many different types of Black people, so many different types of white people, so many types of gay people, which queer is a more inclusive term because not all queer people are gay. But anyway, that's a completely different story. Not all, do you know, like, there's so many type of Hispanic people, so many type of Asian people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's always multitudes of examples for every point. What I'm saying is that the trans identity is not limited to two specific genders, male or female, and that the non-binary experience can come with a trans experience. I'm not saying that those things are always automatically connected, because not every binary person identifies as trans. But I will say that there are non-binary people who live a trans experience. One of my main examples for that, besides myself, is India Moore, who plays Angel on the television show Pose. India Moore is a trans woman who identifies as non-binary, right? She's a non-binary individual who lives a perceived trans woman experience. Let me be very clear and specific about that. because she identifies as non-binary. So I feel like it would be disrespectful to say she is a to say she is a trans woman who identifies as non-binary. She is non-binary and she lives a trans experience. She is perceived as a trans woman. So with that, she is the closest and only example that I know of to explain what my identity and my experience is, because she represents exactly what I want to, like, what I see myself as. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily about being all the way male, all the way female. It's about the androgyny and what lies in between, because I consider myself just as much male as I do female. And I don't want people to look at me and only see a man, nor do I want people to look at me and only see a woman. So I'm kind of going on a tangent right now because it kind of led me to some self-realization recently, and it's something that kind of led me into wanting to do this episode. This specific part of this conversation, the assuming that trans is strictly male or female, and wanting my non-binary existence to be at the forefront of all of my presentation. Because when I first started doing drag, and this also goes back to people thinking that all drag queens are trans, and that's not necessarily true either. But when I started doing drag, I thought of it as a way to channel all of my feminine energy into an entity that was tangible and palpable, right? And I didn't, at the time, this was a few years ago, I didn't have the language to understand that I was just non-binary and that I was a combination and that I just wasn't really femme. And anyway, I say all of that to say, at some point it led me to become uncomfortable once I recognized, oh, I'm not just a gay man who's hyper femme and confused, I guess. I assumed I was going to be confused forever because I didn't identify myself as trans because I didn't want to be a woman. And so until I discovered what non-binary was, I didn't realize that I could be trans without being a woman. And so those things connecting themselves, it led me to recognize the dysmorphia, that I felt within my body out of drag, looking in the mirror and saying, I only see myself as a man. And that was why I got into drag, and to see myself as a woman that I also felt like. But then it took a turn where I started feeling really uncomfortable in drag because I only looked like a woman, or I came off so feminine that I only saw a woman in drag. And that started to freak me out, because the reason I got into drag is because I didn't want to only be seen as a man, but then I only saw myself as a woman in drag, and that became uncomfortable for me as well. So then I realized, okay, I have to be non-binary through and through, and I can't just only be non-binary when I'm out of drag. I'm non-binary through and through, and that presence has to be at the forefront, front and center, all the time. And so I became a person who interjected my non-binary identity into my drag as well. And now I'm finding ways to blend my appearances in drag to where I can be a full manifestation of the body that I want to eventually have, which will entail a combination of both male and female body parts. But I went off on a tangent there. I kind of led to an open discussion sidebar, kind of let me just relate and release moment. But I'm going to close. And in my final words Taymates, in my final words, thank you for spending time with me, one. And two, take the time to get to know people and attempt to view others past your preconceived notions. I feel like even saying this right now, I feel like I'm having deja vu, like I've said this before, but I'm gonna, I guess, say it again. Take time to get to know people and attempt to view them past what you see them as, because underneath what may look like a thug or may look like a ditz or may look like a whatever, there are so many layers to people that you need to get to understand and get to know. So just take that time. And also, before I get out of here, don't forget about the bathhouse vlog series that is on my YouTube channel, Shante Arnett. Make sure you guys look it up. It is amazing. The first two episodes are out now. And episode 3, which is the main event, it will be the actual show, Bathhouse episode 2. It will be live next week. Make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe. Again, I'm going to tell you that again in just a minute for the podcast, but make sure you do so for the YouTube channel as well. So on that note, I'm getting ready to clock out. I appreciate y'all for hanging out with me. Again, don't forget to be a legend, statement, and star, and like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't mind, also leave me 5 stars across the board on that review too, because it really does help us out. And if you would like to become a supporter of this podcast, click the link in the description of the episode and pledge today. Any amount that you guys donate is greatly appreciated. If you want to leave me a voicemail that I could add into a future episode, maybe an opinion on a topic, a question, or a suggestion for a future episode, or you just want to say hello, there's also a link for it that will be in the description of the episode. With that being said, I'm your host, Shante Arnett, and I'll talk to y'all later. Mic check. Yeah, we back in here to close out the show, but we couldn't let you go without giving a little more. Thanks for tuning in, cause y'all helping me bag the win. Hear my passion come through my pen, but the show has come to an end. About to hit the dough and go and whip up another show. Closing on different flows, talent always on go. Sean.